D-Mace Vingan and Donick 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, David Janes here with you. An abbreviated D-Mace Vingan and Donick coming off of the Predators 2-1 overtime win against the Pittsburgh Penguins in Stockholm, Sweden. Surprise!
They needed it.
Maybe you thought we weren't going to be here today, although we told you we would.
Hey, listen.
We're here for you.
We are always here for you.
That's right. We would not skip out on you.
No.
As you're driving home on this
beautiful Friday. You know you want to hear us. And I can see all of you riding down Murfreesboro Pike.
Especially you, the guy going 80 right down here in front of the station. You know who you are. I'm talking to you.
You know, quickly,
yes.
Some people get upset with me, and I toy with people.
Okay.
Because, and it's, listen, I just like doing it because I know it. When I get about maybe a quarter of a mile away, that sign in the middle of the turning lane, it says you can get in the turning here. But it's a ways, but legally I can get in that lane. So what I do is when it's slow, I speed up, and everybody try to speed past me. And I stop and then turn in here. They try. You know why I do it? Because I know people's reaction will be, you ain't getting in front of me. I ain't trying to get in front of you. I'm just trying to get to work. I'm making a left. So people keep doing it.
Well,
I'm going to keep messing with them.
Mind your manners out there as you're driving home on this Friday, late afternoon, early evening. The Predators snatched victory from the jaws of defeat in Stockholm, Sweden, a 2-1 overtime win. It looked like the Predators were headed for yet another loss. It would have been their sixth consecutive loss. They entered the game against Pittsburgh, having lost 8 of 9, but like it was written in a movie script, Philip Forsberg, the hometown hero, ties the game with 1:10 remaining in regulation, and then Steven Stamkos streaks down the wing and wins the game in overtime for the Predators. Their first win in 3-on-3 overtime this season. So, look, we've been crapping on the Predators for weeks. So, we'll give them a reprieve today. It was an exhilarating win for the Predators. Let's see if they can build off of it. And I can just see it now, Derek Mason, if the Predators win on Sunday, by the way, at 8 a.m. Central puck drop on Sunday. Whew. Pre-game starts at 7 a.m. right here on 102.5 The Game. I can see it now. If the Predators win that game, they're going to come back to Sweden feeling themselves, and they're going to go on a run, and then we're going to look back at this trip to Sweden like we looked at the canceled YouTube TV. Some of you have already done that. They canceled U2 concert a couple of seasons ago. This was the turning point of the season. I'm not going to get ahead of ourselves, but look, it was a good win for the Predators. They absolutely needed it. You know, I was listening to the post-game news conference that we were playing on the post-game show with Max Herz, and I heard one of the questions to Philip Forsberg. And I'll admit, I'm kind of a question snob when it comes to listening to news conferences because I've been in so many news conferences. But somebody asked, could you have written it up any better? And I kind of went in my throat, like I gagged a little bit. I'm like, come on, ask something a little bit more substantive here. But by the way, I do want to point this out because I think this is hilarious. The same texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com, at 7:29 a.m. and 1:32 p.m. texted in, fire Trotz, fire Bruno, trade Stamkos. So take that, texter.
Man, people are tis the season to complain, I think.
Yeah.
Voice your displeasure with the teams within the professional teams within the state.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, you know, at the end of the day, the Titans and the Predators have given us very little to be excited about.
Yeah, but when we got a chance and an opportunity to be excited, let's be excited, people. They were left to just basically rot. And then they get a goal, send it overtime, and then they get another goal and they win the game.
Left to rot like the pumpkins on my front porch after Halloween.
I can see it now, or I can hear it now. Had they lost, it would have just been a writing their eulogy and, you know, all that other stuff. So, but
good for the Predators. They got to win. Good for the Predators. They will be back in action on Sunday in 8 a.m. Central puck drop, 7 a.m. Central pregame. Man, oh, man. Right here on 102.5 The Game. I hope Max Hurries loves coffee because he's going to need it. We will be joined by Chad Withrow at the top of the hour for our weekly Friday chat with Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. But before we get to that, I want to get to this story that was published by the Associated Press last night with the headline, "Video Shows Titans Legarius Sneed Driving Minutes Before Alleged Shooting." The Associated Press received surveillance footage of the alleged incident that Legarius Sneed found himself in last year, last December. Mm-hmm. I'll read from the AP quote. "Surveillance video shows Tennessee Titans cornerback Legarius Sneed driving a Lamborghini, is it Urus?
Yes.
At a suburban Dallas dealership." What do I know about Lamborghinis? "At a suburban Dallas dealership and nearby gas station minutes before two men allege that shots were fired at them from that vehicle last December." The story continues. "The Titans cornerback, who was on injured reserve, also can be seen in a separate surveillance video at a gas station at the same time as the two men. In the video, Sneed walks in from a gas pump, goes to a register, and then walks back to the same car when the alleged victims were inside. Minutes later, the alleged victims say in their lawsuit that they were shot at while sitting in a Mercedes-Benz G-Wagon at the dealership. Their surveillance video shows a vehicle driving past with four loud pops heard and an arm out of the passenger side window at 3:42 p.m. That vehicle then speeds off." So we finally have a description of the surveillance footage from the alleged incident that Legarius Sneed was in last December while injured for the Tennessee Titans. And we've talked about this, Derek. Mm-hmm. We know that this is not going to end well for Legarius Sneed. But to read what apparently happened puts it in a different light.
Yeah, it does. Do you not think that even, you know, you should know by now there's cameras everywhere, especially in high traffic areas. There's cameras. You can't go a block without somebody picking you up on their video or a surveillance from a stoplight or something like that. So I just, you know, I don't understand it. I really don't. You are a person of influence. You are a person that has been gifted and blessed with so much. And listen, I don't know, pretend to know his upbringing or anything like that. So I'm not going to even talk about, you know, what it may have been or could have been or should have been. That's not, you know, my deal. I'm talking about as an adult. Like, you got people depending on you, like counting on you to do the right thing, to set the right example. Not to say you got to be perfect, but you know what's right and what's wrong. And for you to even be associated with this, it's unfortunate. It really is. Fortunately, didn't no one get hurt. But bullets are flying out of supposedly your car while supposedly you were driving. What if there was somebody coming out the dealership that didn't have anything to do with what you may have been upset about? Just think about that. What if somebody or somebody's kid or family had been walking out the dealership? And you allegedly, or someone allegedly from your car is shooting. Like, think about that for a second. Just, like, I don't think people really think about things like that. It's not like you were, it didn't seem like you were protecting yourself. It didn't seem like they were the agitators and you were just standing your ground. And that is a law in what were they, Texas?
That's Texas.
In the state of Texas. So I think that's a law in the state of Texas. I know it is in Florida. But the gun laws there protects the gun owner. Whatever was done, you decided allegedly to double back and allegedly fire a firearm from your car. Did you want to hit the guys, or did you just shoot allegedly to scare them? Which one? You putting yourself in a position where your whole career is jeopardized right now. The commissioner can say, you're done. And the PA can back you up all they want to and do whatever they want to. What you did allegedly was detrimental to the program here. And the part about it that I don't think he understands is your talent don't supersede your problem. If your talent supersedes your problem, then, yeah, somebody will give you another chance quick, fast, and in a hurry. But your talent don't supersede your problems anymore. And I don't – when are these guys going to realize this? Like, it takes one thing, one unprompted thing for you to do. Again, it's not like – it didn't seem like they were the agitators. It seems like you allegedly brought it to them. And now because allegedly that has been done, yeah, you may not have been in the passenger seat, allegedly, but it came from your car, allegedly. And you knew exactly what you were doing. That I can't imagine me riding in a car with somebody that I've been knowing forever. Or been known for a long time, and me not know that they got a gun with them. Especially if we're close like that. It's because I got a lot to lose. So I Titans are done with them. I would be flabbergasted if they brought him back. I would be floored if they brought him back. And I'm not sure. Because it was an indictment, so they haven't even put the jury together.
A trial date has not been set.
Yeah, trial date hasn't been set. So either he's going to settle out of court, which makes you look guilty, or you're going to take it to court, which could be another year. And the NFL is going, you know what they're going to do? They're going to put you on that exempt list. That's what they're going to do. You ain't gonna be playing.
615-737-1025, an abbreviated, an incredibly abbreviated version of D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick today, just with you until 6 o'clock. But coming up next, Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us. We will talk college football. We'll talk the Tennessee Titans and more with our friend Chad Withrow. I almost said Jonathan Hutton, who joins us on Wednesdays. We love the Outkick crew. Doesn't matter. But Chad Withrow will join us. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. DVD is presented to you by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025. The Game, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. Chad, hello, how are you? I don't hear Chad. Where is Chad?
Hey, guys.
There's Chad. Hello, Chad. How are you?
There we go. Doing great, guys.
So the other day on your program, Chad, you manifested Lane Kiffin to the New York Giants. Why does that make sense to you?
Well, I think the Jackson Dart connection, first and foremost, would make a lot of sense. I really do believe that Lane Kiffin's very happy in Oxford, and I believe more and more that he's not going to leave for another college job, but I could see him leaving for the NFL. Look, Lane Kiffin, you know, they do well at Ole Miss with recruiting in the transfer portal, but even Lane Kiffin doesn't want to mess with NIL and the transfer portal and recruiting. If you get a chance to go get paid a ton of money, go to the NFL, I think a lot of college coaches will jump at that opportunity and move on to the NFL, and Lane Kiffin's much like all of them. And I don't know if you guys saw the report, but Bruce Feldman wrote in today that he's hearing Lane Kiffin in the Titans.
I did hear that.
That's a mutual interest. So that's another NFL possibility for him. But I do think the Giants make a lot of sense with Jackson Dart. And I think the Dolphins, if that job comes open, is another one that's been hinted at that Lane Kiffin might like. So I think he's going to stay in Ole Miss, or he's going to end up going to the NFL, if I had to guess. And I could see any one of those three NFL jobs being something that he's definitely going to take a look at.
Let's talk about that report that you just mentioned for a moment. It was buried in a longer story written by Bruce Feldman and Ralph Russo over at The Athletic, talking about Lane Kiffin. And then the two of them just threw in this little nugget. Quote, "This situation seems to be trending in a positive direction for Rebels fans who would like to keep their coach. But one note of caution, one industry source said there was at least a modicum of interest in Kiffin among decision makers with the Tennessee Titans." Now, Lane Kiffin makes, what, $9 million per season at Ole Miss? I can't imagine a world where the Tennessee Titans come close to matching that. But just the idea of that, Chad, it has me salivating a little bit. I can only imagine what the reaction would be if Lane Kiffin did indeed join the Tennessee Titans, as far-fetched as that sounds.
I mean, I think if you had Lane Kiffin as the head coach, you know, you wouldn't be blacked out for your game in the three biggest markets in the state.
We did talk about that, yeah.
Right, you know, you're probably going to be played in Knoxville and Memphis this week if Lane Kiffin is your coach. I don't know. Lane Kiffin certainly matured a lot since he was the Raiders coach. He's matured a ton since he was the Tennessee Vols coach. Heck, he's matured since he was at USC. So I think that comparing his NFL career to the disaster that was working for Al Davis with the Raiders would be a mistake, and he's definitely grown a lot since then. This is Lane Kiffin's world. You know, we're living in it. I was at an event the other night, and Jimmy Sexton was at the event. I'm looking at Jimmy Sexton, and he's on his phone the whole time. I don't know who he's talking to, guys, but I'm going to assume it's Lane Kiffin or someone involved with Lane Kiffin.
Did we lose Chad?
I think we lost Chad.
So he.
I think Lane Kiffin heard that he was talking.
Lane Kiffin swooped in and cut the
Let's
call.
Let's mix that.
That's
Let's
okay.
But listen, the whole Lane Kiffin thing, I don't understand unless, you know, when you're talking about ego, it's like, I want to see if I can accomplish the next best thing. I want to see if I can perform on the highest stage there is, the way I performed on the college stage. So I can understand from that point wanting to push yourself and see if you can do it. But with these buyouts so large and, you know, these coaches getting paid so much in college, and a lot of times, more times than not, they're going to get opportunities to rewrite the ship. In the NFL, it seems like it's like on to the next one. If you don't get it right in a year and a half, on to the next one, or you're on the hot seat. And the buyout isn't as large. So why would you even want to tackle that world outside of saying, hey, I believe I can do it, so I want to try it?
Well, welcome back in Chad Withrow. Chad, please continue your thought.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, sorry. Yeah, cut away there for a sec. Apologies, I'm traveling right now if I cut out again. But, no, look, D-Mace, you bring up a lot of good points. Mm-hmm. I think it's a quality of life situation.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. Like, I think there's a lot more peace of mind coaching the NFL because the workload is way better, because you're not having to worry about things because guys are under actual contracts and you're not worried about who's going to leave the moment they don't get the playing time they want or anything else. It's just much more structured right now. So I do think we're going to enter an era where you see some college coaches that want a bowl for the NFL, but vice versa, you're also definitely going to see some guys who want to get that buyout money and want to get that contract that gives them more freedom and more money if it doesn't work out someplace. So it's going to come to a head with Lane Kiffin. He's not signed an extension at Ole Miss. And until he does that, all the speculation will continue about where he may or may not go.
Chad, you mentioned before the lack of Titans coverage outside of Middle Tennessee. The game on Sunday will be shown, of course, in Middle Tennessee. It will not be shown in Memphis. It will not be shown in Knoxville. It will not be shown in Chattanooga. We went back and looked yesterday at the Titans game from 2 weeks ago against the Chargers, and the entire state of Tennessee got that game. So how should the Titans feel about their apparently shrinking footprint in the NFL, and more specifically within their own state?
Well, they should feel terrible. I don't know if they do feel terrible. based on the reaction of some in the organization, but they should feel terrible about it because it's all their fault on this and the lack of interest. Okay, hot take time, guys. And I have always believed this, and I'll continue to stand by this. It never should have been the Tennessee Titans. It should have been the Nashville Titans from day one. This is not the state's team. This is the mid-state's team. And I understand why Bud Adams did it in the beginning, because he was trying to appeal to an entire region, and they wanted to be sort of the Mid-South team, and putting Tennessee with the Titans made more sense at that time. But I've always viewed this as Nashville's team. It's not Memphis's team. It's not Knoxville's team. It's not Chattanooga's team. It's Nashville's team. So I really wish this team was the Nashville Titans. That's my hot take of the week for you guys.
Well, Tennessee Titans has a better ring to it.
The alliteration is good. It sounds good. I understand the alliteration, but I've just never associated the Titans with the state of Tennessee. I've always associated them with Nashville. And it kind of bothers me for some reason when NFL people call them Tennessee and not the Titans for that reason. But that's just a personal nitpick of mine. And, you know, your listeners can take that with what they want and decide for themselves. But I've always thought this is more of a Nashville team.
Well, you're right, because Memphis, the Grizzlies named their team after their city. They didn't say Tennessee Grizzlies. So I can understand from that standpoint why, you know, because it's more familiar here in the mid-state than, say, Memphis or Knoxville. Chad, earlier in the week we were discussing Vanderbilt and them, you know, brand recognition. They may be suffering from that because you look at teams like Texas and Notre Dame, and even though they've had losses, those losses were counted as plus, but Vandy's losses were counted as minuses, and they should have, but I think they're not giving Vandy the benefit of the doubt. So do you believe that they are suffering based on where they're ranked right now in their schedule, that if they were a bigger brand, they would be higher?
You know, I don't know that it's as much about the brand as much about the schedule so far with Vandy. And I know that sounds crazy for an SEC team because, look, I think all of America is rooting for Vandy to get in. You know, they're kind of – you remember when Northwestern basketball got in to the tournament a few years ago and all these people came out of the woodwork that are media members that are Northwestern grads that were rooting them on the whole time? I think Vandy's kind of got that same mass appeal nationally of wanting to see that underdog program get into the big dance. So I think people want them in this tournament. Here's what's working against them right now, and here's where Vandy fans need to be rooting the rest of the way. They need to become Tennessee fans for at least the next 2 weeks. They need Tennessee to be 8-3, and they need to come to Knoxville and beat an 8-3 Tennessee team. That's really going to help their overall resume with a huge road win like that. They don't need Tennessee to mess around and lose to Florida, which Tennessee seemingly always does, because if that happens, D-Mace, you're going to come up with a situation where, I mean, their three best wins may be over 3 5-loss teams. And at that point, it'd be LSU, Missouri, and Tennessee. You don't want all three of those teams to be with 5 losses or worse, because then you might be looking up at someone. You're also rooting against Texas and Oklahoma this weekend. You want those two teams to both suffer their third loss, because if both of them win, they're going to remain ahead of you also. So I think there's a lot of variables. It's not as simple as win against Kentucky and win against Tennessee and get in. I think the odds are in their favor to get in if that happens. But there's a lot of things that are going to happen over these next few weeks that it's certainly no slam dunk that even at 10-2, they're going to be guaranteed a spot.
Okay, with that being said, if you have a 3-loss Texas and a 3-loss Notre Dame, what do you believe more likely would happen, that they would get in over a 10-2 Vandy, or Vandy would get in over those two teams that have 3 losses?
So that is going to be the big question, right? Because the Texas one specifically, you know, we saw Texas beat Vandy. So I can see a committee arguing, well, they had one more loss, but, you know, their loss was at Georgia and they beat them head-to-head. So we're going to favor Vandy. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope Vandy would get in that scenario, but I could certainly see that playing out that way. Now, Notre Dame, that's fascinating too, because they're squarely in right now with 2 losses. They get Pitt tomorrow. I think they've got to win that one, but do they? I mean, is a 9-3 Notre Dame team going to be at the top of all the possible 9-3 teams, and they're going to get that bid? I don't know. So I think right now what Vandy needs to hope happens is Tennessee continues to win. You go to Knoxville, you notch your huge road win that way, and you punch your ticket because that Tennessee win will mean a lot more as long as they're 8-3 going into that game.
Chad Withrow is with us. Chad, let's focus on what I am looking forward to the most in terms of college football this weekend. That is the matchup between Texas and Georgia. What is your read on that matchup? How do you think it goes?
I think Texas is going to win. I think that Georgia has been the team all year that has not been overwhelming, but has found a way late, even if it's, you know, Max Gilbert of Tennessee missing a field goal to beat them. They find ways to win. And Georgia's become that team in the last 5 weeks. Guys, they won five straight in those five games. That includes an overtime win at Kentucky. That includes an overtime win at Mississippi State, where they rallied from 17 down in the last 8 minutes to win the game. They looked really good against Vandy, I thought, until that fourth quarter. I think Texas is figuring it out. They've got the most sacks in America. They got a really good run defense. Georgia does not run the ball that well. I think the game's going to come down to Gunnar Stockton's arm, and I think he's got some receivers out, and there's injuries are plaguing Georgia more than Texas. So I think Texas goes to Athens and keeps their playoff hopes alive and gets a huge win for Steve Sarkisian. So I'm like you, Adam. I'm most interested in that game. And I'm picking Texas to win. I think they got a much better chance on the road than Oklahoma does at Alabama, because Oklahoma, they need that win also if they're going to stay alive in the playoff hunt.
Earlier this week, we were talking about a story that Pete Thamel of ESPN.com put up last Saturday morning. He re-polled 25 NFL scouts and executives about the 2026 quarterback class. Fernando Mendoza was the runaway winner in this poll, and this was posted before Indiana's come-from-behind win at Penn State. So the question that Derek and I bandied about earlier this week, is Fernando Mendoza worth trading up to the number one overall pick if the Titans have that number one overall pick, which they are in position to have at the moment? Is Fernando Mendoza a good enough prospect to compel teams that don't get the number one pick to trade up for him?
I hope so, for the Titans' sake, that he is. I don't think that he is, personally, but I hope someone believes in him enough. And we know that somebody's always going to get carried away with a quarterback and want to move up to get that quarterback. So maybe Mendoza's that guy. I don't think he's that good. I saw Todd McShay's mock draft, his first one, and I think he had the Jets trading up to number two, or someone trading up to get Mendoza at number two, but not at number one. So we'll see how all that plays out. I don't think there's a single quarterback that is trade up to number one and give up what you have to do that worthy this year. Ty Simpson's rising also, but, you know, I don't know what that's going to look like come draft time. But for the Titans' sake, you got to hope, guys, that someone falls in love with Mendoza or any of the other quarterbacks enough to where they'll trade up and offer the moon to the Titans. Because right now, that's what the Titans need. They need the moon and the stars.
To your point, in that mock draft and from Todd McShay, you are right. The Jets trade up to number two to take Fernando Mendoza. The Browns trade up to number three to take Ty Simpson. The Titans take Arvell Reese, linebacker out of Ohio State, with the number one overall pick in Todd McShay's flash mock draft that he posted earlier today. Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Friday, usually at 4:20, but today at 5 o'clock. Chad, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
You guys will have plenty to talk about if the Titans take a linebacker, a number one overall. Everybody's going to be real excited with that sound pick by the Titans. Guys, yes. Have a great weekend. Always fun hopping on with you.
You as well, Chad. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the slate of college football this weekend. A ton of fantastic games. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, who we will get to next, because we heard from Jeffrey Simmons the other day for the first time in about a month, because Jeffrey Simmons was back on the practice field this week, and he said something about his future and his thoughts on the plans of the organization. We will play that for you. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025. The Game, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. One texter says, I am leaving on a cruise tomorrow. But I want to give you something you can throw out next week that will resonate with the baby boomers in the audience. This came to me after the Thursday Night Football result. There is a song from 1970 by Joni Mitchell called Big Yellow Taxi. That, of course, the Counting Crows cover. There is a line in there that perfectly describes the Titan separation from Mike Vrabel. Look up the lyrics. It will jump out to you. We just played it. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. After the Patriots won again on Thursday Night Football against the New York Jets. That is 8 consecutive wins for Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriots. So, yes, Titans fans, maybe you didn't know what you had until it was gone. But
they knew. They were just tired of it.
I can't – look, I would have to go back in time, but how many of you were bent out of shape about the Titans firing Mike Vrabel?
I think it was split. I think some people felt that it was time, that, you know, it was great when you were winning, but when you start to lose that sort of brassness that you had, it rubbed people the wrong way, and obviously it rubbed the owner the wrong way. So I think there were more. I think it may have been split, but I would probably, if I had to lean one side or the other, even though I do believe it was split, I do believe people just got tired of the Vrabel isms and all of that other stuff, and they were like, let's just get somebody else.
Josh on our text line responding to Chad's hot take about how the Tennessee Titans should have been named the Nashville Titans. Josh says, I totally agree. The Predators and Titans are Nashville's and the Grizzlies belong to Memphis. Most of Memphis doesn't care about the Titans and most of Nashville doesn't care about the Grizzlies. Tell that to David James, Josh.
Well, I'm a Ravens fan.
Well, but you are a Grizzlies fan.
I am. Yes, I do care about
you.
Grizzlies.
You are a Grizzlies fan living in Nashville, so that makes one of you, I suppose. I know there are more of you.
Yes.
I know there are more of you. Adam in Portland is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Adam, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, man, I owe Vrabel an apology. Like, because I was one of them that was like, play better, coach better. He's always got his head in his hands. I didn't get sick of it. Like, but then you overcorrect and go Brian Callahan, and you're like, man. I don't know. I think he's a fantastic coach, but I don't know, man. Like, everything fell apart. We had it all. I was telling my brother, man, we had Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown and J-Rob and Vrabel, and we didn't know how good we had it. Now we have nothing, and Amy's to blame, and it just makes me sad as a Titans fan. But, yeah, I owe Vrabel a big apology because I didn't realize how awesome and valuable he was. You can't see it whenever you're experiencing it, and now you can really see it.
Thank you for the call, Adam. And this wasn't meant, by the way, to relitigate the Mike Vrabel firing of a couple of years ago. But to Adam's point, the Titans are in dire straits. But Jeffrey Simmons, who, if I am not mistaken, is listed as questionable for the game on Sunday against the Houston Texans. So it appears that Jeffrey Simmons, yes, indeed he is questionable, along with Calvin Ridley and Arden Key. So some reinforcements could be on the way for the Titans on Sunday against Davis Mills and the Houston Texans because C.J. Stroud is out with a concussion. Jeffrey Simmons addressed reporters yesterday after practice, the first time he's spoken to reporters in roughly a month. He was asked about his thoughts around the NFL trade deadline. Do you think you could have been traded? A lot of interesting things in this scrum. But I want to play for you what Jeffrey Simmons says about the plan for the Tennessee Titans. Here's what Jeffrey Simmons said after practice yesterday.
You know, we have an understanding. You know, talking to Mike and Chad, you know, throughout the season and, you know, this offseason, you know, like I said, they have a vision. And it's, trust me, it's hard. It was hard as hell for me to see it early on. And it's still kind of, you know, throughout that process, it's like, I want to win. It's frustrating. It's frustrating as it gets. Like I just said earlier, I get paid to play football, and I get paid to be a leader in this locker room, and when I'm on the field on Sundays to go produce. And Chad and Mike, you know, the vision that they talk to me about, the vision that, you know, that they see in the future for the Tennessee Titans, you know, that's the reason why Amy paid them to do their job. And like I said, I'm backing them. I support everything that they've been telling me. Is it hard to see right now? I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Frustrating for the fans on the outside. It's frustrating for the guys in the locker room, sure. But at the end of the day, we all have a job to do and our job to go out there and continue to try to win football games.
So that was Jeffrey Simmons after practice yesterday. He said, quote, "It was hard as hell for me to see it early on," meaning the vision as constructed by Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker. And he even says it's still kind of hard for him to see it, but he has faith. So take that for what it's worth.
It's when he says it was hard for him to see it, that's a part of the buy-in. He wasn't, and you don't expect him to be, as you know, when things are constantly changing. You know, every year for Jeffrey, and there's no stability, then you are going to be a little leery of, you know, what the new regime is saying, because you didn't see the owner oust two of them, you know, two regimes. So it's like, man, y'all saying this, but I don't quite trust y'all yet. I'm not quite bought in. I want to win, but that vision yet, because I've been around too much. But I think, like he said, as the season continues to go, and he sees some of the moves that they're making, he may not agree with it, but he understands why. And he has to, because they've told him, "You're our guy. You're our guy moving forward," especially until the young quarterback can get himself in a position where now he can take that mantle and run with it. But right now, you're the guy. We're not trading you. We're going to give you another. I believe they're going to sign him to another contract, an extension. He will be here for the next 3 or 4 years unless, you know, they just take an about face and during the draft end up trading him. But outside of that, he's here. And he will be a big part of entering into that new stadium. So I get what he says about, you know, "I didn't understand it. It's hard to see." Yeah, it's hard to see because of all the stuff you've been around. It's like so much change. Oh, you expect me to believe it now? Well, I need to see it. And now he's starting to see it. And now he's like, okay, I trust these guys. I can see a little bit. I can't see it all, but I see a little bit, and I trust them. That's leadership from Jeffrey Simmons. And this is what we're talking about. And he said it. They pay me to play damn good football and to be a leader in this locker room. And it seems like he has matured. His play was always, you know, with the exception of him being hurt, but his play was always there. And now I think that leadership is matching his play.
And I have been squarely in the trade Jeffrey Simmons camp, especially last week after the Jets traded Quinnen Williams for a pretty decent haul. And Willie and I both said we would have taken that, no questions asked. And we've also mentioned this before, Derek. You have the perspective that I don't, that most of, if not all of our listeners don't have, which is the locker room dynamic. It is easy for me to sit here and say, that all sounds good, all of the stuff that you're saying, it sounds all nice, but I still would trade him anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the question is Jeffrey Simmons enough to help this team get closer toward that vision that has been laid out by Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker? Is there a glimmer of light in that tunnel? And we'll see. This season has gone to pot, and who knows when the Titans will be good again. I asked this question to Paul Gaharsky last week. Should the Titans value Jeffrey Simmons' leadership more, or what they could get for him in a trade? And I think a lot of people are on the trade standpoint, but I understand your viewpoint as well when it comes to trying to build that culture.
Yeah, they have to have this sort of beacon or light that these young players can look to. So a guy that has had some success, you know, a guy that has matured. The team needs that guy to look to. And it seems like Jeffrey has become that guy. And that's why I said, selfishly, I would have liked him to go somewhere else to compete now for a Super Bowl. But from a locker room standpoint, I'm glad he stayed because they need somebody like that. Because he commands and he demands respect. And I think he's matured enough and he's going to continue to mature that these guys are going to follow him. They are. Until Cam, you know, take hold of it, they're going to follow Jeffrey. So I think it probably ends up being the best move the Titans didn't make. So take that for what it's worth. But I get it that people said, hey, listen, Jeffrey is the one guy that we can get the most. We're trying to rebuild. We need more picks. I get that part. But I also understand and know that you can have all those picks, and I've said this before, and I'm going to keep reiterating it. You can have all those picks and all those players, but if you ain't got nobody to lead them, it's just a bunch of guys. Might as well be playing basketball, roll a ball out. You know, it's just a bunch of individuals wanting to get stacks.
Davis on our text line, reacting to our conversation with Chad Withrow, said, what people are not talking about enough is if Texas beats Georgia this weekend, Georgia and Vanderbilt would both have two losses. Both of their losses would be to Alabama and Texas, but Georgia's losses would have been at home, whereas Vanderbilt's losses would have been on the road. Should be a clear argument to put Vanderbilt ahead of Georgia if brand recognition is not based on such similar resumes.
That's another argument. Well, I didn't even think about that one.
Davis, that's creative, man.
Very.
I'll give you that. I don't think it holds much water, unfortunately. But I do. Points for creativity. Points for creativity. One texter on our conversation earlier about Legarius Sneed, the Associated Press published a story yesterday with details from the surveillance footage of the alleged incident that was provided to the AP by the lawyer representing the alleged victims in the case. One texter says, my question about Sneed is how much longer are the Titans going to leave his mural plastered up on the side of the concourse on the west side of the stadium? I don't know.
Well, it'll be gone when the season ends, best believe. Or it may, honestly. You never know. It may be gone before that. But I'm sure it will be gone before the season starts up next year.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A shortened program today because the Predators were out in Sweden. The Predators won 2-1 in overtime. Philip Forsberg scores with 1:10 left in regulation. Steven Stamkos scores in the first minute of 3-on-3 overtime. And the Predators, looking like they were headed for another loss, find a way to win in overtime. The Predators will be back in action on Sunday morning in 8 a.m. Central puck drop, of course, right here on 102.5 The Game. Before we get to Money in the Bank on the other side, just a couple of things here. The MTSU Blue Raiders will take on Western Kentucky tomorrow at 2:30. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits app, Totally Hits Nashville app, and at Totally Hits Nashville. com. I also want to tell you that Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky inside the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. This Monday night's matchup is the Cowboys versus the Raiders. And one more thing. If you're looking for a great spot to pregame before the Titans-Texans game this Sunday, stop by John Bon Jovi's. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Catch the pregame show next Sunday on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Parma Tractor and Equipment and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you on an abbreviated version of DVD after the Predators won in Stockholm 2-1 in overtime. But we will take it to the bank as we do at the end of every week. And that, by the way, is brought to you by our friends with F&M Bank, banking made easy on purpose. Visit one of their locations throughout Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky or online at myfmbank.com. Willie Donick has submitted his picks from Stockholm.
Okay.
We look forward to having Willie Donick back with us on Monday. It's been a minute since we've seen Willie because he was sick and then he was gone. So we look forward to having Willie Donick back. I barely remember what he looks like. But we will have Willie Donig back with us all next week. Looking forward to that. So, David Janes, let's recap last week.
All right, boys. So, first off, I'm going to go with our two general questions, which were, the first one was, will Vandy score 27.5 points? They did. Mm-hmm. So, me and D-Mace are the only ones who got points there. You and Willie did not said that they would not do that. The next one is over-under on 1.5 sacks given up by Vandy. Adam Ashley was the only one who was correct. Me, D-Mace, and Willie were the ones who thought, you know, the offensive line would give up more sacks. But they didn't. They only gave up one sack, I believe.
Hot diggity.
So Adam gets 1 point off of that.
I'll take it.
Now we're going to go into the individual picks. Adam, you said the Bills would cover 8.5.
They did not.
They did not. Unfortunately, they did not.
That seemed like such easy money. The Bills. There we go. The Bills covering against the Dolphins. That seemed like easy money, but that did not happen.
No.
The Dolphins must have heard you say that and were like, you know what? We're going to prove him wrong.
And they won big. They won by 2.5 touchdowns.
30-18. And so, Adam, you also then said the Seahawks would cover against the Cardinals by 6.5, and they did that very easily.
Yes.
They think they won by 22 points. It was insane. So you had a total of 4 total points for a total of 45 in the overall, right?
Okay,
so you
have 45
overall points.
I'll take.
Willie, he said that Iowa would win or would cover by 6.5. They did do that. It was a really good game. Iowa versus Oregon was a really good game.
Yes.
And then he said that Ohio State would cover 29.5 against Purdue. They did not. Purdue was due on that day for not giving up that or for covering that, and Willie only got 3 points for a total of 64 points. He always hits one of those. When he misses the
he's running away with it.
He really is. I'm trying my best over here, guys.
Yes.
But D-Mace is the big winner of the week. He had a great week this week, finally. It took him a while to
took me a while.
But you said Diego would have 3 total touchdowns, either passing or rushing. He had 3 total just passing touchdowns, so you had the points off of that. And then you said that the Baltimore Ravens would cover. They did. So I wanted to give you extra points for that, but I got to be, you know.
What? You can't? I don't get extra points?
Well, I thought about it because, again, you picked my Ravens, but then I was like, you know what? I got to be fair to everyone else, you know.
Damn.
All
right.
So you got 7 points.
I'll take the 7.
Be happy you got 7 points.
I'll take the 7.
And your total is 39. You have 39 total points. So, hey, you're moving
7
on
points
up.
Higher than I was last week.
Exactly.
There you go.
Now let's go to me. I said, oh, man. I said LSU would beat Bama. That didn't happen. And I said Lamar would have 3 total touchdowns, and that didn't happen either. So,
yeah, so
I only got 1 point for 51 total points. I'm still in second place, but my lead is, you know, dwindling.
All righty. Let's get to the common questions for this week. Texans at Titans at noon at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. If you're listening to us in Knoxville or Memphis or Chattanooga, you are SOL. You can't watch that game on your local network. But the Titans are the lowest scoring offense in the NFL, averaging 14.4 points per game. The Texans, meanwhile, are the number one scoring defense in the NFL, allowing 16.7 points per game. So the top scoring defense versus the lowest scoring offense. Over under 13.5 Titans points on Sunday.
Over.
David?
I'm standing on big.
That's crazy. I'm going under.
Willie is going over as well.
Ah.
I am absolutely going under.
I mean, y'all are crazy.
What do you guys think?
Y'all are crazy.
Okay.
Remember a few weeks ago when you were like, Jonathan Taylor won't have this. No, that wasn't Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah,
it was, no way the Colts will win by 20 points. This seems like the same thing.
Although
for
I will
y'all.
Say, at least, you know, they did had a good game against the Chargers,
they,
at least.
They
so
did.
There's
okay.
some, like, you know, disparity. But
so
like, I don't
the
think,
Titans,
I just don't believe them.
Over under 13.5 Titans points on Sunday. Derek and Willie are taking the over. David and I.
The smart ones.
Are taking the under. So that was question number one. Question number two, a monumental, a gigantic, a huge matchup in college football. 10th-ranked Texas at 5th-ranked Georgia. Georgia is favored by 6.5 Will Georgia cover?
Ooh. Their favorite?
Favorite Georgia minus 6.5. Will Georgia cover at home against Texas?
Yes, I say Kirby covers.
Okay. this one's tough.
It's tough.
You heard Chad Withrow.
Yeah.
He's taking Texas. I will say that Georgia will not cover. That doesn't mean they won't win, but I will say Georgia will not cover. Willie said that, as I can find Willie's picks here, Willie said that Georgia will cover. David, what about you?
Oh, man, this is tough. You know what? Hook 'em.
Okay. So we're split once again. Derek and Willie are saying that Georgia will cover the 6.5. Mm-hmm. David and I say the Texas Longhorns will make sure that does not happen. That's a huge game tomorrow evening, I believe. All right, to the individual portion, I will start with Willie since I'm staring at them.
Okay.
Willie is taking Missouri -7 versus Mississippi State. And he is taking Alabama -6 versus Oklahoma.
Hmm.
Those were Willie's picks from Stockholm, Sweden. I will go to my picks because I am also staring at them. Speaking of the Baltimore Ravens, the Ravens on the road against the Browns. Ravens -7.5. The Ravens will cover against the Browns on the road. I will take the Ravens -7.5.
I like that pick.
And then, thank you. And then in college football, this is like a sneaky important game. 19th-ranked UVA at my beloved Duke Blue Devils. Duke is favored by -5.5, which I find to be incredibly odd. Duke will not cover against UVA. I'm not saying Duke won't win.
You just saying they won't cover?
Duke will not cover the 5.5 against Virginia in Durham tomorrow afternoon. Those are my selections. Derek?
All right. I am going to go with first, Cam Ward will account for 2 touchdowns. And then, I was going to pick, but damn, not playing this week. Where's my other one? You know what? I am going with Lamar accounting for 3 touchdowns.
Okay.
Dang it. Oh, you
just... Were you going to do that too, David?
I was going to do something similar to that.
Well, you can up the ante.
You know what?
You could say,
screw it. Screw it. I'm going to do it. Lamar Jackson, 4 touchdowns against the Browns. I'm probably going to regret that. But you know what? I'm going to do it anyways.
We'll see.
And then, I'm trying to figure out my next one. It is, give me my Memphis Tigers to cover this weekend against East Carolina.
Did you mean to do that?
I did not mean to do that. Listen, they're super close together, and it was, oh, man. All right, I'm done.
You basically wrote the script now.
I really
did.
You're
going to lose.
I know. No. We're not going to put that in the ether right now.
You
all
did
right?
It, not
I
me.
Know I did, but all right.
Burm, burm, burm. So, Derek, let me ask you.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question before I get out of here. What is the strangest way you or a teammate has ever suffered an injury?
Strangest? Oh, there's the statute of limitation. I can tell this story. Okay, so we are at a golf tournament, and I forgot what golf tournament was. This had to be my 5th year in the league, 5th, 6th year. And I wasn't at that time. I didn't own no golf clubs at that time and anything else, but got some golf clubs. So I'm out there and I'm golfing, and I went to swing the driver, and I swung that sucker like, man, I was gonna hit that thing about 900 yards. Man, I hit the grass before I hit the ball, and I broke my hand.
Ouch!
But I couldn't tell nobody. So what I did was I act like nothing was wrong. I didn't finish. I went home. The next day, we were in it was the off season anyway. So I went to work out. And I went to catch the jug ball machine. But I'm like, oh, my hand. My hand. My hand.
The reason
I broke my hand.
The reason I bring this up is because New Jersey Devil star Jack Hughes is being evaluated for a non-hockey injury on his hand, the team announced on Friday. ESPN writes, according to sources, Hughes injured his hands in a quote-unquote freak accident at a team dinner on Thursday.
Yeah, things like that. Good thing I didn't have to wear casts. It was a small little bone that I broke.
Now, so there has been some more reporting done around this. Christy Flannery, who reports on the New Jersey Devils, tweeted within the past few minutes, everyone stated that it was a freak accident that caused Jack Hughes' hand injury. I'm being told he accidentally leaned on a glass and it broke, causing the cut referenced in the report.
How long is he out? Have they said?
They haven't said. But that sounds
my
bad.
Goodness, your hand through a glass?
Ugh. Ouch.
I feel for you, brother. Gosh, that hurt.
Yeah.
That ain't good. But yeah, that was the, I broke my hand, a little small bone in my hand. It healed in like 3-4 weeks. I was fine.
Did anybody buy it?
I don't know if anybody bought it, but I was trying to sell it. I tell you that. I was trying to sell it hard, and the good thing was the off season. So, you know, only thing I was doing was working out, so I didn't have to catch no footballs.
The things you learned on this program. It's been a fun filled week for us here on D Mace, Vingan, and Donick. We have greatly missed Willie Donick, one of the D's in DVD. There are two D's in DVD, but we will have Willie Donick back next week in full force. Once the Predators return from Sweden, the Predators take on the Penguins once again on Sunday at 8 a.m. Central puck drop. You can hear that game right here on 102.5. The game, of course, the Tennessee Titans back in action as well on Sunday at Nissan Stadium against the Texans. Texans favored by 5.5 at Nissan Stadium.
Without C.J. Stroud.
Davis Mills starting at quarterback for the Houston Texans. So Texans favored by 5.5 despite Davis Mills, who I believe has a career record of 6-19-1.
That's good, right?
No, but the odds maker still think it's worth giving the Texans 5.5 points.
It don't matter when you're playing the Titans, I guess.
No, but Jeffrey Simmons could be back. Arden Key could be back. Mm-hmm. Calvin Ridley could be back. They're all listed as questionable, so we'll see how the Titans do. They've been pretty good out of the bye over the past few years, so we'll see what happens. And then a full slate of college football. Vanderbilt does not play this weekend, but you've got Texas and Georgia, Oklahoma and Alabama, Notre Dame and Pittsburgh, a lot of critical games in the college football playoff landscape.
Everybody should be pulling for Pitt here.
Wes in Hermitage says, same thing just happened to my girlfriend. She fell through a window and got 9 stitches in her wrist.
Oh, how did she fall through a window?
We don't have – this is a cliffhanger of all cliffhangers.
Yes, how did she fall through the window?
I guess we'll tell you on Monday at 3 o'clock how Wes's girlfriend fell out of the window.
Make sure to listen.
Just make sure to listen. This is the perfect cliffhanger. We'll see what happens. But we will be back in full force next week. Willie Donick will be back stateside. Once the Predators return from Sweden, we'll be here in the studio, all four of us. It's been a minute since we've all been together, and we will be back with you Monday at 3 o'clock. Thank you for listening to us on this abbreviated Friday edition. We'll talk to you full force, 3 hours, Monday, 3 o'clock.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. I love you. The team love you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, all right, because we will be back here Monday to talk about the Titans. I'm predicting win at 3 o'clock.
Let's not do it too far. That's a little too far.
Peace.